welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the back half of this show, we're replaying an editorial from earlier this week. It was a KER market quick take. So Shad and I discussing what we saw at some of the recent Vancouver conferences and also the price action, the crazy price action that we had seen up until midweek. This was fully posted on Wednesday, now being replayed on this weekend show. For all of you that missed it, I hope you enjoy. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the KE Report in a market quick take. I'm Corey Fleck.
And I'm Shad Markowitz.
And we are here a little delayed on the conference front to share our takeaways from the Vancouver conferences about a week and a half ago, Metals Investor Forum and Vancouver Resource Investment Conference, plus a little bit of roundup that I swung to. But I find MIF and VRIC really the most important ones to gauge investor sentiment. This took us a little while to get out because honestly, there's so much volatility in the sector, especially post-conference, that we wanted to see how it all started to play out this week to not get too emotional. And I think that is maybe one of the things that is happening in this market right now. And we see this kind of volatility and potentially blow off tops and major reversals is that everyone makes proclamations on a day-to-day basis. And I realize this is still early on in whatever this volatility and market looks like, but there are some trends developing that we do want to share. So into the conferences, first and foremost, Shad and I were at MIF and VRIC, both days of both conferences. Shad, we've already shared some of our thoughts on some of the interviews earlier this week, especially with Dave Erfley, but honestly, we haven't just shared our comments. So your takeaway from those conferences, again, taking out that price action afterwards, what did you see at the conferences?
Well, going into the conferences, Corey, it was pretty exciting because that Friday, if people remember, was the day that silver broke $100 and got up to triple digits for the first time, and gold was approaching 5,000, and some platforms actually rolled over to the April contract and showed a close of 5,017. So close enough for most people. And when we got there at the MIF on Friday, it was buzzing. I mean, it was full. The aisles were full. I've been to a lot of MIFs. I was at three or four different MIFs just last year, but I've been going for a couple of years, and this is the busiest I've ever seen it. Lots of people at the booths, lots of people talking to companies. And on that Friday, just like what we saw at the VRIC on Monday, there were people standing outside of company booths talking to them and buying stock there on the spot. So pretty amazing. And then as the conference season kind of got going over the next couple of days, it was a conference of high fives and hugs, lots of people in good spirits. But it got to the point where by Sunday night, when they started calling out the prices as the Asian markets opened, it was getting a little concerning to me because they were gold at, you know, 5,000, gold at 5,100, silver at 105, 106, 107. And by the time Monday morning came and I was hanging out at the hotel room just getting a little work done before going over to VRIC, I saw silver shoot to 117 and thought, wow, this may be happening too much too fast. I actually trimmed about a half dozen silver stocks then, just thinking, hey, before I go over to this conference and do more high fives and hugs, I better at least take a little bit of chips off the table. And so leaving the conference, everybody was at a fever pitch. And my concern is that in the back of my mind, I still wonder, did that whole process of Vancouver conference season top tick these markets?
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. That's what I was telling everybody. Man, oh man, you just look around, it was all hugs and high fives. Everybody was happy. Everybody was making money. And a lot of people were just excited about the action in their stocks, rightfully so, considering last year at VRIC, we walked around the floor. It was a lot smaller, a lot less companies there, a lot more gaps in the booth. But these companies had their hand out. They were looking for $1, $2, $2.5 million, looking for a lead order and kept pushing back financings. Now these same companies were on the floor with $5 million, some even $10 million in the bank, and they're drilling all kinds of different targets. One other thing that really caught my attention was all these new groups or returning groups to the sector that were at the conference. I bumped into a lot of people that I hadn't seen in over 10 years, family offices, and quite frankly, promoters that were in other sectors. They're back now. That makes sense. Everybody does chase momentum, and there's a lot of money still floating around. A lot of people looking to get positioned into whatever stocks are looking to raise money. So we'll see if that carries through to even more financings, because we've already had just a wealth of financings come out. Who knows if this money that came in has gotten scared from the recent price action or not, but overall, from those conferences, the busyness, the excited nature, I hadn't seen that in well over a decade, which does give you a little bit of an uneasy feeling, but it's also nice to see people making money in this sector, shareholders coming up to companies, excited, saying thank you to the companies. You're making me so much money. This is fantastic. It is nice to have that vibe. And maybe just because we had been in such a slow and bear market for a lot of the juniors, especially the juniors for a long time, it was nice to see some of these teams that I like getting rewarded. But then, boy, oh boy, the tail end of the week, what a end of that week it was. Some of the things that stood out to me and some of the chat groups that I'm in of a lot of these executives sharing their stories and really promoting their stocks. That's what these groups are all about. Is somebody pointed out on Thursday, the TSX Venture Exchange traded over 1.1 billion of shares. That was 35% higher than ever. And somebody in this chat group, which again is usually 100% bullish, was worried that it was a blow off top. And I know we can say that the venture has all kinds of different stocks in it, but it still does track junior stocks, especially in the resource sector. I just found that very interesting considering that drop we saw on Friday. Now, Shad, we've covered a lot of that drop, but quite frankly, that was a historic move in terms of dollar terms to the downside for gold and silver. Where do you see it playing out now? What really caught your eyes in terms of, again, that price action post-conferences?
Well, and I would even back it up to the Monday, the last day of the conference. We saw a quick reversal in the stocks from everything in the green to everything in the red. And it seemed like a strange reaction when metals were breaking out to new highs. And it kind of reeked of profit taking, like people saying, hey, I don't trust this move. I'm going to pull some chips off the table. But as the week progressed last week, you know, you saw things claw even higher. By that Thursday night with that big volume, gold was up at 5,600 and silver got up to 121 and some change. And so it was mind blowing to watch that, to see that move on Friday, the last day of the month in January, to see it fall. I think silver fell over 34% at one point and it closed down 31%. To see gold down 11% at one point and close down about 9% was gut-wrenching. And it wasn't just gold and silver. It was, as we've discussed, platinum and copper and palladium. Everything was tanking on that last day of January on the 30th. And so that got us into the weekend with a real bad hangover after the party. And so coming into this week, I was curious, okay, how are things going to open and what's the vibe going to be like? And it was nice to see a rebound, really, after things kind of bottomed on Monday. It got even to lower levels. We saw a rebound yesterday on Tuesday. Today, kind of an indecision market. I'm hoping that since things got down to their 50-week moving averages and 50-day moving averages and different things were hit on different charts, that maybe we're finding some support here. But today, on Wednesday, as we record this, it's not a very strong day in the sector for the metals or for the resource stocks. So I think there's still a lot of indecision. I think people are still working through just how volatile the last four or five trading sessions have been. Good grief. And a lot of people probably top-ticked the market in their own accounts by getting all bulled up and buying stocks and holding the bag now.
So coming into this year, we always talk about tax loss selling, but quite frankly, I don't think anybody had stocks to sell at the end of the year for tax loss selling, which made me think that we might see a little profit taking at the beginning of the year, just simply due to tax purposes. Rather than selling in December and having to pay your taxes a few months later, you can sell in January and not have to pay those taxes for well over a year. Maybe that just got a little bit delayed because of the moves in gold and silver earlier on this year, and it was just hard to sell. But right now, boy, oh boy, to think that silver is $35 off of its highs when we were talking about $30 silver price last year being a critical level for silver to get over. This volatility just has never been seen in this market. And the volume in SIL, so the silver stocks, it's been blowout volume and increasing for the last 5 months. And last month was extraordinarily high. So there's clearly some profit taking going on here. And one thing that really stands out to me, and it's the luxury we have on the show, is that we bring on a lot of different guests. And yes, a lot of the metals focused and resource focused guests, they're not worried about this correction. They're pointing to fundamentals, long-term trends. I get all that. But when you're looking at the stocks and, quite frankly, understanding that silver, in a way, I think turned into a meme stock. It was all over the internet. And just by that vertical nature of the move and the percentage of that move, there were clearly a lot of momentum chasers and other people in the markets. The generalists we've talked to recently, especially Dana Lyons, as well as a couple other technical traders like TG Watkins, they were riding this wave higher. They were loving this market and they were well positioned in it. But after this volatility, since we've talked to some of them, I've noticed they've moved generally on the sidelines. They're not bearish, but they're very much seeing how this plays out because that upward momentum, quite frankly, has been lost. There's no denying that. When you get those kind of moves, momentum has been lost. And we have, for right now, lost that other driver, those other investors chasing this market higher. Not to say that they can't come back in. They do still hold some of their positions, but they too cleared out. So I think we do need to just understand the change in tenor for this market. Again, not necessarily bearish, but that full-on bull market attitude that was, at least for the last couple of months, especially the way we started this year, it's now a neutral market and people are more wait and see, which really brings up that rotation trade because that's one thing even I've been doing is rotating some of those gold and silver profits because they've been so extraordinary into some other commodities. And we have seen even the pullback in other commodities, we've seen other stocks hold up better. I'm really thinking copper stocks, even the lithium stocks are holding up better. There are other energy metals and simply the energy sector that I think is maybe a better opportunity here. But hey, that's just my take, but it is a rotation theme that we were hearing, and we're even hearing it from some of the generalists. And I think that is very important.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of the generalists we've talked to, even Mark Chandler would be in the same bucket with Dana Lyons and TG Watkins, that they were not even interested in commodity stocks, a couple of years ago, and they all did get positioned, and some of them lighten the load, or some of them are concerned on a technical basis. I do wonder what the impact of losing some of the generalists would be. Now, there's some people that believe it's good to wash out the froth and it's good to get some of that hot money meme stock type of money out of there, but it's nicer to see it in there and causing momentum to the upside. My problem has been consistently that I don't think the gold and silver stocks have really priced in the moves in the metals that happened because they happened so quickly over a couple of months. I mean, think about what a change it was from October and November into January. It was night and day as far as where these things should be valued, and yet they weren't. You brought up the SIL volume and SILJ, and they were getting pretty wild, but the SIL to silver and the SILJ to silver ratio has actually improved because of this giant correction, because you've actually seen silver correct more than the stock. So I'm hoping we get to better valuation metrics as far as how the developers are rated, even at silver in the mid-80s. I don't think it's come anywhere close to catching up. Same thing with gold. Gold's in the 4,900 to 5,000 range right now as we record this. Those are fantastic prices for producers. Those are fantastic prices for developers that have a project economics. And when you look at where they're valued, I still don't think most of these stocks have caught up. But to your point, areas like copper have held up way better. If you look at COPX, it's still up near all-time highs. And the copper developers, compared to gold and silver developers, have leveraged the move in copper. And copper did great. Copper got up to $6.56 a pound just a couple of days ago. And so it's amazing how well the copper stocks have done. To your point, lithium stocks have held up better. Even the rare earth stocks and tungsten and antimony stocks have started bouncing again after crashing last fall. So there is a rotation trade going on. And one of the themes on the stage at VREC in particular, but even in the MIF, was people talking about pulling profits in precious metals and rotating into copper, rotating into energy metals like uranium, like lithium, and copper would be an energy metal, but also rotating into traditional energy like oil and gas. And we bring on oil and gas experts that remain encouraged, even though oil has really been kind of boring for the last year or so and been in a downtrend. Nat gas has been a wild ride, but the energy stocks have even held up better than gold and silver stocks. So I have personally done the same thing, Corey. I've rotated some of my precious metals winnings when I took some winning trades and put them into uranium stocks, into oil and gas stocks, and even into some copper stocks. So I guess I'm taking some of these themes to heart that we hear at these conferences and thinking, hey, maybe I'm overallocated to precious metals. Maybe I need to beef up some of these other sectors.
It's just interesting to see the price action right now, too. We have gotten a bounce from that big Friday drop that happened right at the end of the month. And as big as that drop was in silver, 25% that it dropped, 27% actually in that one day. And that wasn't even the biggest drop, as you said, from intraday. Silver still ended the month up, which is just nuts to think about. And it's been month after month of silver and even gold moving higher. But these stocks are not doing very well. Even today, I'm noticing a lot of weakness in juniors and more of a propensity to sell rather than buy throughout the day, which is still a bit of a change in tenor. Now, again, we don't know where this correction is going to go. Nobody knows where this correction is going to go. But when you have that big of a gap between the recent highs and where it's trading now, that changes people's outlook. And we are heading into earnings season. We have Barrick announcing earnings tomorrow. I'm very curious to see how the market takes that because of the fact that their earnings are going to be great. But the metals price isn't going necessarily in their favor right now. And that is all sentiment based, which I think this is a time to simply be on the sidelines, watching the stocks that you like, maybe getting into some of them if you see them with catalysts. But I don't know if this is a market anymore of junior stocks, even mid-tier stocks going up month after month when they don't release any news. This is more of a time to be in the stocks that are doing the work, that do have near-term catalysts that could help drive the stock higher. Because right now, yeah, I just don't think we have those momentum chasers here and now. Again, this can all change, but as of right now, we need to understand that the market has shifted a little bit on the bulls, not necessarily full-on bearish, but look, all the momentum indicators, all the bullish overbought narratives have in a way been reset just in a day and a half. And there's nothing natural about a one-day correction that is that big. A natural correction is something that takes a little bit longer, which is why I think it's hard to say that this correction is over just because of 1 or 2 days of action. Again, we'll see, but that theme of rotating within the resource sector, because there clearly is a global focus on commodities and resources. We keep hearing from governments, even the US, about new policies, new funds being developed, investments in different metals, and it's all kinds of different metals. The world is waking up to the lack of globalization. So countries need their own metals, or at least a steady supply of those metals. So I do see commodities, resources being on people's radar more than ever, especially governments. But that doesn't just mean that they go straight up. So I do still like the overall resource or commodity narrative, but you got to understand when stuff gets ahead of itself and the stocks don't validate it, that yes, those ratios, they reset, not necessarily because stock prices go up, but because metals prices come back to reality.
Well, just three quick rapid fire points on what you talked about there. One, on the earnings season, again, I'm a broken record on this, but I still believe there's going to be an aha moment when Q4 numbers come in, not because of Q4, because that's really backwards looking. And again, silver was probably averaging 55, gold was averaging around 41, 4200. So they're going to be record quarters and record revenues, but I think people will do the math and say, well, wow, look at the delta between $4,200 gold and $4,900 gold. That's a $700 spread there that they're going to add in Q1. And that's after this corrective move. Look at the delta between $55 silver and $85 silver. That's a $30 delta right there. And like your point earlier, silver used to be at $30. So there's a huge delta between Q4 and Q1 that I don't think has been factored in. So I'm hopeful, although maybe that's foolish, that the market analyst will do the math and realize, wow, these companies probably should be valued higher. Maybe we get a pop out of that. From the long-term standpoint, I think you need to know yourself. Are you a trader or are you an investor? If you're an investor, there's really not much to do because nothing in the fundamental thesis overall has changed as far as debt and as far as the fiat, losing purchasing power and as far as gold and silver being stores of value. None of that narrative has really changed. If you're a trader, though, we're going to be in the chop. We're going to be chopping back and forth in the whipsaw, and it's going to be volatile. There's opportunity when it's choppy, but you can also get wrong-footed pretty quickly. So you got to be careful. And I think using technical analysis and looking for catalysts, like you talked about, another key thing. And then the third point, as far as the government putting more focus on critical minerals and on the resource sector, not just in the US, but in Canada. We're seeing it in Europe. We're seeing it in Australia. We're seeing it in Asia. There is a focus globally on resources. And just, we should probably mention that just on the second, Trump launched a $12 billion minerals vault called Project Vault, geared around stockpiling critical minerals, kind of like a strategic oil reserve. And it wasn't that long ago, just a couple of days last week, where we saw the US put $1.8 billion into USA rare earths because they need to lock down a rare earth supply chain for the chip makers and for energy and for defense. So when you see headlines like that, even if you're a generalist investor, it's hard to ignore what's happening with resource stocks. And it's hard to ignore. I have friends that are contacting me. I don't know if you're experiencing this, Corey, that have never cared at all about silver or gold or rare earths or uranium. And they're texting me saying, hey, are you still doing this thing with these stocks? And they're asking me what stocks they should buy. I have never seen that happen in the entire time I've been in the sector.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of that too. Whether we're at the club or at school, there are people that are coming up to me and saying, hey, you're in the resource sector. Man, things are really ripping. That's pretty cool to see, isn't it? It's been forever since you had this kind of environment. Yeah, it has been since like 2011. This has been totally different here, but it's been coming for the last little bit. But quite frankly, I think if you're a trader or an investor, I think you do need to also isolate what you're investing in. I think a lot of these junior stocks, they are mostly trades, especially if you were in 2 years ago and you have a 5x on some of your money. Definitely be taking some of that off the table. You can still have big exposure, but you can also trim 25, even 30 or 40% of your position and have that money to either play with or, quite frankly, put in your savings account, invest in something more longer term, because juniors and penny stocks, which is still what we're in, right? These are still sub $1 billion market caps. These are rarely long-term holds, and already you've done very, very well with them. But again, the world is waking up to resources and commodities. Who knows how long that lasts? But it's not just the US, it's not just China. It seems to be everybody looking at what they have available to them and where they can put some investments. It's going to be interesting to see because we also have a couple more conferences coming up. We have the World Outlook Forum coming up this weekend in Vancouver. That is much of a wider conference. There's some resource companies there, but there's a lot more energy companies there, as well as some financial services companies. So we'll get the lay of the land at that conference. That one is much smaller. And then we will be at the Money Show conference in Las Vegas, February 23rd through the 25th. And we will be recording a KER quick take from that floor, as well as a couple roundtables with some of the companies that could make it. Unfortunately, it came over the BMO conference, which so many of the companies that we talk to are going to that. But there are a few companies that are joining us at Money Show conference in Las Vegas. That one, I'm going to be so excited to see what the lay of the land is there, because there's a lot of generalists and a lot of other sector people that will be there. So we're going to hopefully meet a whole lot of new people and even maybe some new companies in different sectors. Who knows what will come out of that, but I'm very excited about that conference coming up, and who knows where these metals prices will be at that time. We'll wrap up this KER Market Quick Take. Hope you all enjoyed. We're also going to be back next week with another quick take on the back of that World Outlook Forum, and then saving up our ammo for that Las Vegas Money Show. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Please share this editorial as well as any of our content with your friends, your family, anyone else who you think would be interested, and leave us comments, whether it's on YouTube, our website, or by emailing us directly. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and happy to address any of your questions or take on any of the topics that you are interested in.
The Cortland Economics Report is produced for A.B. Cortland and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.